Everyone, welcome back. It's Corp Stats, powered by the Mayo Media Net here on YouTube and presented by Jock Market. Make sure you download the Daily Fantasy app for free. Use the code MMN. They're going to match that first $100 for free. If it's free, it's for me. Hope you had a wonderful weekend. It's your host, the big dude with the big mouth of the big apple, big Johnny Stud, coming to you worldwide from BK as always, coming out the chair as always. Get used to it. It ain't about to change at this point. All right, here we go again. Another day, another week, another month, and I absolutely love it. It's already August 1st, and before you know it, right, it feels like just yesterday we were kicking off the season, and now we're right in the thick of it, man. I absolutely love this. We're doing it here every day, Monday through Friday on the Mayo Media Net. Please rate, review, and subscribe to the audio-only pod, and once I earn it, I'm going to ask you for that cartoon finger below here on YouTube. Those likes matter more than they should, but they do, so I'll ask. All right, let's get into it. It's the three pillars of profit, as always. No one bringing it to you like this. The fastest show in MLB. Absolutely anywhere, coming to you 115 off the crack of the bat. We're doing daily DFS, and then of course Jock Market. Love that app. We're getting paid for being sharp over to fantasy. I got not only news and notes, the Monday show is starting to come along as far as fantasy because we're away for a couple days, so there's a bit to go over, but then I take it to the next step and I'm going to give you all the fill-ins, right? So injuries, player moves, but then I'm going to get you the guys that we could look for this week that might be playing to add, guys we'll be noting. Again, Tuesday and Wednesday we mine the advanced statistical leaderboard. Thursday, we put it all together for waiver ads, and then Friday, we do a look ahead, and it's been just excellent right now. My fantasy teams are really starting to rock and roll. They were all in the very back of the pack. They were at the middle of the pack, and now we're getting up to that, like, fourth and fifth, and the momentum has been crazy because of the work we're doing here. All right, let's get up into the stacks right off the bat. It's the 8-1 Stack Attacker, brought to you by Jock Market. Love that app. We're going to be up in there today for sure. I love when these Mondays begin late. You know, not only being a content creator, but also a high-stakes player, professional handicapper. Man, and the show, of course. Trying to get stuff out in the afternoon on Monday while you're setting lineups and all this stuff is nearly impossible to get to it all. So I love when we have the 6:40 start. We get to really sink our teeth into it today. And make sure you follow me on Twitter at MLB Moving AVG on the Bird app, yo. Because this is really just the foundation. You know, we have weather, we have lineups, possible pitching changes. And you know, thanks to my dude, Patty Mayo, the man behind the madness, we're bringing you every single thing that you could stomach as far as baseball goes. Implied team totals, starting pitcher ranks, I run the algo, we grade the games, we do the scores, we give it your players and stacks. It is just awesome, and if you appreciate it, tag my boy PM. Let's go get it. First up, it's the Texas Rangers up against Spencer Watkins for the Blackbirds and orange vest for Watkins. 4.03 ERA, 1.41 whip, 7.81 OPS. You'll notice we only have two stacks, so this will be a good time to digest something. Johnny, why do you always use OPS? Most people settle with ERA and WHIP as their surface statistics. And for me, it's pretty easy because any 2 points can make a line. What does a high WHIP and a high ERA tell you? All right, he's bad. What does a low WHIP and a low ERA tell you? All right, he's bad. He's good. What happens if they cross, right? What if you have a very low ERA and a very high WHIP? Well, maybe you say, well, he's put too many guys on base. Maybe he's lucky. What if it's the opposite? So OPS, really a descriptor of events, helps to kind of validate or invalidate the, you know, discrepancy, let's say. So I always like to use OPS with my ERA and WHIP, and that'll tell you a 4.03 ERA is okay, 1.4 WHIP very high, 7.81 total OPS also pretty high. But digging on in, pop the hood, not so good for Watkins. XFIP, Sierra, and PCRA are all plus 5. That is classified run average. Another, let's just stop really quick. And one of the tools I did not mention is the starting pitcher sheet. Every day I bring you my own work, matchup view, advanced pitcher stats, splits, lefty-righty, home-away, last 45, like every single thing that you could possibly stomach. And I know it can be a bit much, but I don't want you to just grab this free info and try and dissect the parts you get. I'd much rather you try and get into the understanding of it. I do these things for a reason. There are no wasted stats. It reads left to right as the best description I could think of. To me, it's the very best tool anywhere. So, hat tip to my dude, Joke, one more time. He is leading the league in mentions this month. But it was a very good idea, very sharp. He's a sharp cat. To put a link, it's a tutorial, just a short tutorial on the pitching sheet. So not only will, I only think you'll have to watch it once, it'll help you understand the statistics maybe you don't get or the layout of the sheet, but probably more importantly, how to build these arguments, right? To tell you when to use which ones in accordance and kind of how to read it again left to right. So if you are looking to kind of step up your game, you know, we are the spot to do it. Mayo Media Net, known for the nuance and the context, all that good stuff. Let's get back into Spencer Watkins. So all the earn run indicators north of 5, something again we're looking to get after. 14% K is too low. 8% walk is a bit too high for that, leaving you with a 6% K minus walk. Anytime that's in single digits, particularly below 8, we want to get after that. And then just some really bad contact metrics. Again, this is a perfect example. A metric that I have on the sheet is heart percentage. Heart percentage, if you're familiar with using Savant, they use the pink box. It's the center of the plate. Now, it's easy to mislead yourself, right? To be misled, I guess, by a heart rate thinker. Well, the higher it is, the worse that is. Though intuitive and sometimes correct, not necessarily the case. You can't just go by location, quality of that stuff matters. So if you're going to be looking at heart rate percentage, I should say, you need to pair it with in-zone contact rate. The idea being, if you have a high heart percentage, you're living in the middle of the zone, you need a low in-zone contact rate, right? You're going to be in the zone. You need to win in the zone. These things are intuitive, but that's why I don't want you to just, oh, okay, I don't know what that means, so I erase it. No. We don't erase anything here. We don't take away. We only add because the things that we've added have passed the test. So trust me, if I'm telling you it's worth understanding, I promise you it is. And if you have questions, you hit me up on Twitter any time of day, any day of the week. Okay, so understand the high heart percentage now for Watkins is also paired with a 90% zone contact rate. So you see how these things make sense, where a pitcher like a very good pitcher, let's say Corbin Burns, can attack the middle of the zone because of the movement and the profile he has. He's very hard to hit. All right, so there's just a little bit. Oh, perfect time. Come on, if that didn't do it, give me the like. Come on, give me that cartoon finger. Give me your thumbs. So unfortunately, these things really do matter. But if you appreciate the work I put in and the way I try and lay this stuff out so you don't just, you know, today's bets, whatever, I want you to leave you sharper and smarter tomorrow, get up in the like button, get up in the comments, because I know we're appealing from the 101 better all the way up to some of the most advanced players maybe I've ever met. Okay, so now once we've described the location and that the contact is made, right, 90% contact rate, now we're ready to go into quality of contact. If there isn't a high amount of contact made, I'm not running after barrels and stuff. See how that matters? Like how these things kind of work, again, in a coordination, let's say. So Watkins, batted ball quality, very poor on his end. 42 hard hit, 22 line drive, 375 expected WOBA. All issues, and he has really struggled on the road also. Righties having their way against Watkins on the year, 508 slug, 850 OPS, and they've hit all 6 home runs. So remember, sometimes split work is not always lefty-righty. That's not always the case. Sometimes it's a pitcher with a flawed pitch or a movement profile that just doesn't work in that case, right? He's trying to spot inside, his fastball either rides too much, doesn't ride enough, ends up middle of the plate where right-handed hitters can get to it. So again, don't always fall in love with lefty-righty splits. Let's dive into the fastball, really at the center of the issue here. 40% use, 600 X slug, only 14% whiff. That's my own custom triple slash for a pitch, right? Use, contact, whiff. Add them together. What do you got? Bibbidi-bobbidi-boo. Some problems for Watkins. And the issue, if you want to go a little bit further, I only had 2 stacks. So I knew we were going to have some lessons here. There have been so many new listeners and so many new questions. All the clicks and likes and stuff are all pushing up. I really do appreciate it. Again, most baseball shows running out of steam as we're finding new gears. And I think that's what separates me from the pack. You never know, I'm having a very poor run right now as far as outcomes go. So what are you going to do? I keep losing one-run games. What do you want me to do? We're up 5 runs and losing games, right? Philadelphia. other day. I'm up 8 runs in the 8th inning. We didn't cash the bat. Like, this is not, I'm not going to beat myself up over that stuff. But what matters to me is that we're understanding what matters and why, focusing on those things and always trying to improve. One of the things I have noticed is with a new understanding of pitch shape, this stuff really, really matters. So you got to know the, let's call it the underpinnings of a fastball, right? The mechanics, the diagnostics. So here's the long and short of it. It's not just, oh, he throws the fastball too much and it gets hit hard, because that could be bad at ball luck. The thing we really want to be looking for, underpinnings again, is, right, vertical ride, how much it moves up and down, horizontal run, left to right, hat tip to my boy, Rob Dip Pietro. I'll never forget that again, my paisan. Thank you for hooking me up. I constantly was confusing it, right? Roller coaster ride up and down, run, arm side run, left and right. So 16 inches of vertical ride, that's a ton. One of the higher fastball steepness that you'll see. Why is that an issue? The more it rides down, right? Steep angle in, steep angle out. Meaning if the fastball is coming in at a steep downward angle, it's going to be easier to lift out if you hit it square. That's the issue. How about the horizontal side? I had to double check to see is it zero inches of horizontal run is a major issue, and that probably explains what I was mentioning before. His fastball is too steep, it doesn't have any run. If he misses at all, he gets punished. So there's everything you could ask for a like button. Now let's get into the offense. We're looking at my boy Adolis Garcia, last 40 plate appearances against righties, 324 BA, 297 ISO, 1000 OPS. Remember, ISO at the center of total base props, that's the extra base hit rate. He also has 5 extra base hits in that 40 PA span. Then I wanted to zoom out again if we focused on the fact that the fastball was the issue for Watkins and he throws it 40% of the time. There's a good chance we're going to see it. So I wanted to look at Adolis Garcia against right-handed fastballs on the year, against context and nuance, baby, baby. 10% barrel and 3 home runs, the things we're really looking for. I really like Garcia today. And then also over to Marcus Semien, last 82 plate appearances against righties, but at home. He's in particular, he's very good at home. That ballpark plays for his swing there. 260, 260, 824 on our triple slash with 5 home runs. Those are all against right-handed fastballs. Again, nuance and context. I think it really, really does matter. So Semien hitting those fastballs at home, right? Kind of laser focused, but that's what we want to be doing. We're looking at just today's sample. So give me Garcia, give me Semien, and about 17 other lessons that we managed to jam in there. All right, let's do the second half of this stack. It's the Friar Tux from the beautiful weather out there in San Diego by that aquarium, going up against my paisan, Antonio Sensatella. Rough go, to say the least, this year. 4.9 ERA, 1.74 whip, 9.26 OPS. All 3 points, making a line not very good. His deserved ERA at 6.35. That's a contact-based metric. Woof. 8% K minus walk, 15% whiff, 51 first strike, 31 O swing, 91 Z-con. Why did I do all that? That's our language, right? This is the language that we speak. The K minus walk is low, meaning he's putting men on base without the ability to strike them out. The whiff rate is low, which kind of says the same thing, but you really want to know also, because again, right, K minus walk includes walk. Whiff is just swing and miss. 51 first strike, as low as she goes. Anything below 55 is poor. Anything at 51 or below is really bad. Chase rate at 31, 33 is average. Anything at 31 or below is an issue. Anything below 29, really bad. And then again, the 91% in zone contact rate. So you see how we're, yes, it's number, but I don't want to be, oh, look, this guy thinks he's so smart with all these stupid stats. It's not the point. We're telling a story about the profile. We're describing the pitcher profile as best as we can from a disciplinary standpoint with these statistics. So try not to, you know, remove them if you can, because they are telling the story. Now, we know Sensatella is not getting the whiffs. He's not getting ahead. He's falling behind. He doesn't induce chases. Has to come in the zone. What do you get? 28 line drive, 385 expected wOBA. Lefties and righties. Lefties and righties have a minimum 349 BA, 865 OPS. He has really had a tough go. He's going to get demoted soon if you keep this up. Again, a lot of times you'll see these things at the, let's say, the center of the problem. It's not necessarily they're all bad pitchers. They usually are short a good pitch. and it takes a bad fastball, puts it to the feature column, and gets it in trouble. Let me show you what I mean. Sends a telethrower in the fastball 55% of the time to a 500 X-lug, 13 whiff. Those are all extremely poor. He has 20 inches of vertical ride and only 3 inches of horizontal run. To give you an idea, you want to be at 12 or less as far as steepness goes, right? 12 or less, think rising fastball. It doesn't rise, it just doesn't sink as much. And then horizontal, you want as much as possible. I'd say probably 9 or 10 is where it's really nice, nice, like a lemon ice. So this is a major issue on both sides. He doesn't have the velocity, he doesn't have the movement, he doesn't have the tail, and that's why he's getting rocked. And to righties, even more so, 53% use of the fastball. I mean, seriously, well, I don't understand the pitching coaching here. I really don't understand these organizational moves at all. So the fastball's getting crushed. It's a hyper use to righties. Give me Voit. Last 40 plate appearances, 314, 343, 1,000 OPS, and 3 home runs. He is killing right-handed fastballs on the year, right? He's going to 53 use. He's going to see him. 57 hard hit, 33 barrel, 24% blast. It's like broken. 480 X Woba and 6 Shamalama ding-dongs from my boy Voit. He's going yard today. And Jerickson Profar, last 36 plate appearances against righties, 60 hard hit, 281, 313, 937 with 3 home runs. Remember, the ISO extra base hit rate, anytime it's over like 250, you could be thinking about total base props. Profar over 313 could check that box as well. 50 hard hit, 415 expected WOBA against right-handed fastballs last 60 days. Profar has looked really, really good. So there you have it. The Jock Market 8-1, a stack attacker, a baby, baby. How about that, man? Who is doing it like this? Oh, man, look at me. I got like a little mistake here on this thing. What is going on with that? Oh my goodness, you guys see my clicks and stuff? I made an audio video gaffe. Well, whatever. Not enough to get me canceled, so if you don't like it, shout out to my haters. All right, let's do the fantasy thing. Again, I'm really very happy with the way the Monday show is coming along now. We could just do it briefly. Doesn't mean just is not a ton. That doesn't matter. This is what's mattered for me. You know, probably we were looking back and doing 2 starters. Everyone has their lineup's pretty much in place already, right? They're not set. So if you have starter sick questions, tag me on Twitter. I absolutely am into that. That's something we could do during the day. But Monday morning, let's get up into the news. You'll see what I mean. MRI results on Ty France for the Mariners came back clean. Expect him back soon. Chris Bryant left yesterday's game against the Dodgers. The left foot bothering him again. Oh, what a frustrating season for Bryant, but the subsequent move is this could be Garrett Hampson season, believe it or not. Yes, if you're out there sending DC lineups, Garrett Hampson or in daily moves, expect him to play this week. Bobby Witt Jr. removed from Sunday's game. He got hit in the hand by a pitch. When he's out, Nicky Lopez goes to short. Kyle Isbell should be playing in the outfield. So these are guys I know I have on DC team, so I'll probably be starting a couple of these guys where I need to. A MRI revealed no structural damage to Justin Turner on the Dodgers, his abdomen, but they're saying he will not play at least until Thursday or Friday, so do not start him in the first half of NFBC weeks. He will not be back. We could check that again for the weekend. I believe Trace Thompson will be playing every single day. He's been working his way into a role, but especially with Turner down, he has played every day. Corey Seager on the Rangers missed yesterday again, so it's 3 games in a row. Foul ball off the leg. We really don't expect that. Now they're talking about it could be a DL. So I would not start Seager without confirmation. 4th day in a row, we might just get the IL, which means Zeke Duran, our boy Ezekiel Duran, is back. He's always hitting whenever he's up. He might be on a couple of your squads, still sitting there from last week when we mentioned him, so now I think it's in place for him to get some run. Mariners placed my favorite ball player on earth, that's not a Yankee, Julio Rodriguez, on the 10-day injured list because he got hit in hand also. Gosh, it's the worst. We need some better technology, right? Some hand and wrist protection. Absolutely do. It's a shame to lose these guys for these little tiny bones. I don't know how long he'll be out. They haven't said, but Jared Kelnick got called up. I don't know if he'll be any good, but he will be playing. Cabrian Hayes was stretched from the Pirates lineup with left knee discomfort, so I wouldn't start him, but I don't know who's going to come in his place. Tyler O'Neill didn't start for the Cardinals, but they're saying day-to-day, so it was C. Dickerson in his place, but I'm not looking for him going forward. I would be looking to see if O'Neill is playing. And then Victor Robles, something with his hamstring was out yesterday. So that could be Lane Thomas season, who's been productive for fantasy when, you know, the opening is there. So there's like a little bit of news and notes, but also just the subsequent fill-in. So when you're doing your lineups today, if you have daily moves to look after, you know, these are the names to be on. Or even, I go so far as to say, you know, if you're DFSing, you know, these are the low-owned names that won't be popped by the algorithm that you'll know you could kind of fall back on. Zeke Duran, Lane Thompson are all going to be really cheap. They play Garrett Hampson. Almost no matter the matchup, those are like $2,000, $2,100 guys on DraftKings. So that's a second pillar of profit. And as Meatloaf would say, right, two out of three ain't bad, you know? So two out of three ain't bad. Let's wrap this bad boy up with the betting section, which has just been beyond brutal. I'm going back and grading. I was trying to keep an eye on our, like, one-run records, and that's where we've gotten smoked. You know, I lost the line. I totally lost count. It's making me nauseous. Whenever we're up a run late or tied, we're just not winning. Those are not games that we win, and it's not anything we could control. Yesterday was another one, right? We needed the Angels to get back to even. They were up one zip early. They were up two zip early. And then when it went to 2-2 in the 6th or the 7th, not to be good, so I'm unlucky. You just kind of get the feeling that it's not going to happen. Right at that point, I'm not live betting. I'm not going to sulk or even root the other way. You just kind of get the feeling that it's going to go wrong. And of course it did. It's just what it be right now. So sometimes, you know, if you can't stand the heat, you just got to get out the kitchen. You know, don't be looking to make excuses and stuff. That's never the answer. Never, ever, ever the answer. You backtest the process. If you believe in it, you just go forward. If it still failed, then you probably had something wrong in your risk management profile. And if you don't, then you're a baby and this isn't for you. You know, unfortunately, you have to understand that even with a perfect process and perfect management, there will be weeks or months even sometimes where you lose. That's just what it is. And if it was, you know, if that wasn't the case, people would be doing it, right? There'd probably be a computer doing this for us, but there isn't. And that should be, you know, the hint that you need for how difficult this can be. All right, so let's get into the bets here. I do have one. Again, you know, I'm always looking at pricing at the four. So we mentioned the downside for Watkins. I do expect Texas to hit, and I believe they will cover up the Orioles lovely. I was a little surprised to see the price here at 125. John Gray not getting the love that maybe he should. 3.62 ERA, 1.14 for the White Wolf, 6.32 OPS. But FIP, XFIP, Sierra, all below 3.5, deserve the array at 3.15, 19% K-minus walk, 30% CSW. Those are all benchmarks and all the kind of things we're looking for. We're mentioning 50% first strike rate being extremely low. John Gray's at 62.5, right near the top of the league, basically. And his in-zone contact rate is 83. So you see the difference, like, so 85 being in the middle, 89 when we go after guys, 83 and below is excellent. Gray can have the high heart rate. He doesn't happen to, but he could because he can win in the zone. His heart percentage, FYI, is 23, which is just about average. When you're over 24, you're in trouble. When you're below, like, 21, you're really working the edges. John Gray has just been excellent. He keeps the ball on the ground 43% of the time. Hard hit rate via BIS, Baseball Information Solutions, below 30%, and a sub-1 home run per nine, 309 xWOBA on the season. Gray has been absolutely excellent. I think the Rangers kind of just rocked them today. I don't even think we're close. I'm hoping we get out in front and beat up on Watkins a touch. We know the Baltimore bullpen is good, but only the good part, right? It's funny. The good part of the Baltimore good pen is good. Meaning, when Baltimore's in a close or game or their head, that iteration of Baltimore pen is good. So we're going to want to be up 2 or 3, which I really think we have a good chance of being up 2 or 3. And then if you get that part of the Baltimore bullpen, because they're really Bautista and Lopez, outside of that, I think we can get to them. So give me Texas to cover it off. Hopefully we jump on them early. We're due for a nice little run of some coasting, cruising bets here. And then I have something a little bit interesting as well. I've been scratching and clawing at how to attack these things and trying to get all the proper exposure. So here you'll see this is the first time we have it up here. I saw there's some sharp people really cashing these, and it's not just me kind of copying people, although, you know, imitation being the sincerest form of flattery. This actually comes from a couple of the show listeners. So, again, I know you people thank me all the time. I thank you as well, because it's part of it, right? I ask for your interaction because I want to be better, and I've noticed that people talking about, this actually started with people parlaying all the stack attack hitters, thinking, well, they rang on the model, they should be viable. And then when I was speaking to these people, I tell them maybe not for total base props because of the things we mentioned. The lineup placement is off, maybe the odds aren't right, maybe they're at home and they're a big favorite, we're afraid of not getting the ninth inning. And then the turnaround, the counter was, well, what if we went to single base hits? Now, I mean, at that point, you really shouldn't be worrying about any of that, right? If you have a team you think is going to score, you must assume four plate appearances, and then a 250 batting average should get you the hit you're looking for. So the math checks out. And it really had the light bulb going off. I haven't done it before, so I did go to check this out. Now, certain players on the model are not at one half hit. So that's what we want. I should have put one half hit parlays, right? Single hit parlays. I would not, if you need to go for two hits, then you need to play total base props. So Voit was at plus 100 for the 1.5 total bases. My concern, again, home favorite, walks. I don't want to lose the ninth frame. He was set at half a hit. Okay. Looked at Garcia. His base prop, I wasn't up, I think. Or, you know what I mean? That's part of this also. This is very early in the morning, and I'm racing against the books. And again, it's people like myself has them reticent to post anything because they know the second we post and the podcast comes out, the line is moving 30 cents. And you don't think they're tracking us? If you don't think they're tracking us and how far ahead of the market we are, you're insane. They're absolutely tracking us because I speak to these people who are on top of our action. And in fact, it's very funny because I have a couple pros in my DMs that are just pulling their hair out because they subscribe. Again, you'll find many times professionals subscribe to closing line value over long periods of time, which of course they should because it's very sharp. And we are the CLV kings. I am the CLV king of the universe. But in fact, you know, it's part of my algorithm was exactly that. Part of it is using public perception, right? So people, it's funny, stats can get you in trouble. It's almost like projections. You don't swear by projections, but if you disagree with them, you need to also understand that they are part of a self-fulfilling prophecy. There is a certain segment of the market that uses them and will react to them. So you have to understand what is being thought of them. And, well, there's another feather. If that didn't get a like button for the theory around here, I don't know what will. But again, closing line value being at the front, and they're up in the DMs pulling hair out because we just can't seal the deal and the outcomes. But the handicaps are awesome. I always expect that. I mean, not to toot my own horn, but I put in thousands of hours into this stuff, man. I dedicate my life to this. So at this point, besides my family, this is what I got. All right, so give me the hit parlay. Give me Voit and Adolis Garcia. It's at minus 110. I think I even saw it at minus 105. You compare these things on different books. Of course, I always suggest shopping it around. So give me Voit and give me Garcia. And the thing was, just to put a bow on it, was people were noticing that we would fall short in total base props sometimes. And that's part of it. Remember, it's very hard to get two bases. That's why they come in at plus 120 and stuff like that. It's a reason. But they were tracking, and this is something I don't have time for on my own, tracking that all of these guys were getting base hits. They were all getting base hits. And then I started seeing people showing me tickets for bets that I wasn't posting, right? And that's really what I appreciate, because I know I'm a fount. So I put out information, and I want people to digest it. Listen, if you're tailing my bets, I want to win. These are bets I make myself. I have a ticket for everything we bet. That's not where I'm going. I'm more interested in how the market and the wisdom of the crowd takes my work and uses it. That's what I'm more interested in, because I know that I don't have enough time. And until I staff myself and have people making the graphics and doing the spreadsheet stuff that I have to spend my very valuable time doing, so I should be focusing on work, I'm human. I know that I need help, and I get it oftentimes from the other people out there that are focused on it. So again, another thank you to all of you, because I feel very confident about these, and maybe we'll expect to see these in the future, mixing and matching hit parlays, single hits, of course, over one half hit, pairing them, looking for near even money, and seeing how these play out. Asking for just a single in a game is like really great. And again, anybody that's been tailing us can tell you, how many total base props have we fallen short of a single base? They're generally not bad games. We generally get a hit, generally getting singles. I'm thinking of the last three that lost were one base out of two. So this is just something a little new. But if you want to go the other route, feel free. You know, remember, you don't have to bet more because you have more plays. You could just work this backwards. And in fact, you might expect to see that on my ticket where we're starting with the total base props, betting smaller amounts on the total base props, taking those same players, pairing for singles, and looking to cover the bet if they hit the singles, right? Does that make sense? So feeling confident enough in the single play that we're going to have it cover the total base prop. And if we hit the total base prop, it should be one of two. So I'm already thinking this out loud. Again, I have to put a little bit of work into this to make sure the math checks out before I put it out in the wild. You know, another one. Sometimes, like, when does this happen as we're, you know, building a boat in the middle of the ocean? But it's part of the fun. I really do love this stuff. The difficulty, right? This is the hardest. Betting MLB every single day is the hardest game on the hardest setting. Make no mistake about it, particularly when you're betting, you know, regular general market stuff, run lines, money lines, and totals, and the like. So I think that'll do it. Give me Texas, full game run line. We're going to cover up those Baltimore Blackbirds pretty easily. Then give me Voit and Adolis Garcia to each have a single hit at minus 110. But if you want to jump on the Voit total base prop, I think that's viable at plus 100. If you want to jump on the Profar total base prop, that's at plus 125. I've just been getting turned off to the home favorite thing, right? If I'm going to have these teams to win at home, I'm not expecting the ninth frame. I feel like it's almost arrogant to look for it knowing that you're going to be short a plate appearance. Like, almost I want better odds. I feel like 125, I want 135 or something like that. You know, again, we'll have to figure this stuff out in time. And what was the last thing? Yes, I did have one more total, but it was juiced up, so I didn't take it. Expected on the model. I know a few people have been loving that. When the model rings, again, I put it out on Twitter and on Patreon, but it's free. Anytime the F5 model has rung over a run on the algo, I just think we have to hit those. You just don't even, you're not saying blunt, you just do it. We don't know what's going to happen. It's been so sharp on picking up on totals. I haven't playing them. I don't really like totals. If you go back by my work, I used to tell people to never bet totals. And here I am only betting totals, maybe explaining some of the outcome issues I've had because of my confidence. So that will do it. Again, nobody is perfect, nor do I pretend to be. There is that silly little red box. I can't believe I did it again. All right, everybody. Love you much. Really appreciate you sticking around with us. Please download the Jock Market app. It's the best thing you could do for us. Use the code MMN. They're going to fund the first $100 today. And I think those Padres are going to get it done for us in Jock Market. And then the Texas Rangers also. Remember, with Seager out, everyone gets a bump up in the lineup. That stuff matters. You get a half a point for PA in Jock Market. Rate, review, and subscribe to the audio-only pod, and then pretty please, with sugar on top, press the like button. It really matters on you. As you're shutting this down, just press the like button. Imagine us losing this show because we didn't get enough cartoon fingers. Talk about heartbreak. So that'll do it. Enjoy the games. Enjoy your day. When we're done with the books, enjoy that pay. Everybody, love this show. Love you much. And remember, when you work this hard, it feels a lot less like luck, yo, don't it? Peace.